They're all over the room. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for the blood that made it possible for those who believe to house the very presence of God. We revel in that this morning. Thank you for great love. The Apostle Paul put it this way, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Hallelujah. So today we open up our hearts, our minds. Thank you for Holy Ghost ears. Stay with me, I'll never be the same. I'm moving on, forward, up higher and higher, from glory to glory. Little by little, a lot by lot. Hallelujah, never the same in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted,
amen.
Amen and amen. We're talking about faith that works by love. Turn with me very quickly to a little teeny verse found in Galatians. For those of you that maybe have not been with us, just for you to see it. Quickly, then we're going to move on into some other things that I've been promising for several weeks. And darling, would you help me find Galatians? No, I'm kidding. I found it. Galatians 5, 6. What? Down at the very bottom of this little verse, it says, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth, as a reference to the law, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. Can you say that with me today? Faith works by love. Deuteronomy tells us that one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. Now, a lot of us have heard a lot of different things about faith. And how many have really put your faith out there and seen some things happen? How many have really put your faith out there a lot more and not really seen a whole lot happen? And I want to help you because faith, God honors faith. You see that when we started out the series on faith back several months ago, I took you through scripture. And I know it was hard for some people to swallow, to see that miracles happen in the ministry of Jesus based on nothing other than believing. It didn't matter if they were a heathen Gentile, a centurion, who heard good news and simply responded by faith. In fact, they were both Gentiles, the Syrophoenician woman and the centurion, both of them. You could say lawless people who simply heard the love of God in the ministry of Jesus, responded by faith, and they both received. In fact, Jesus says, I've not seen so great a faith in all of Israel. Powerful stuff. Every miracle that he did, it didn't matter who they were, what their education was, what their background was, whether they were Jew or Gentile. It only required one thing, faith. Isn't that something? The woman with the issue of blood. What a beautiful story. She heard, and then she said, I know. Her response was right out of her mouth, I know that if I can but... She said something else she knew. I know I will be made whole. And Jesus' response to her was, daughter, thy faith. Over and over and over and over and over again, he referenced their faith. But you know, we see Jesus introducing a whole new theme. He hadn't yet died. The new covenant had not yet come into play. Things were very different. Scripture now reveals that because of his death, burial, and resurrection, the kingdom of God is in us. It reveals that all the faith you'll ever need was already deposited in you. It reveals that all the love that you'll ever need, Romans 5:5, for the love of God has been shed abroad in your hearts. There's more in you. Philemon 1:6 says that the communication, the expression of our faith is made supernaturally effective. Now, I'm adding to that, but if you look at the context, you'll understand that the communication of our faith is made effectual, is the way it says in the King James, by the acknowledgement. Everybody say acknowledgement. That means you're going to say, yep, that's right. Acknowledgement of all the good that is in you. Most of the church is telling you how much you're in trouble, how much is wrong with you, how much you need to fess up, get right, all the other things. Now, I'm not referencing what happened this morning. How many know every time we walk in here, there is a surrender that takes place? There is a form of repentance confronted with truth where you say, Jesus, everything I have, afresh and anew, I let down. I'm not referencing that. But most of the church is pointing us to our sin when Hebrews tells us that if we really come into the love of God and come into relationship with Jesus, there should be no more consciousness of sin. In fact, Scripture says that the more we know and experience the love of God, the more we should walk in the reality of I am. I don't know how, I don't know why, I don't deserve this after myself, but faith in His love for me made me the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Romans declares the inside of you, the new man, the new woman, is as righteous as Jesus Himself. Now, the outside of me is a little different story. That's why we come to church every week. That's why we get under the Word every week. That's why we are letting ourselves be washed by the washing of the Word so that our minds can be true. Welcome home. I thought I recognized you. So good to have you back. Absolutely. Aren't you glad for what He has done in us and who we are in Christ Jesus? Three of you. Fired up bunch. Praise the Lord. Where was I at? Just like home, right, Drew? Just like dead, nothing changed. Aren't you glad for the work of Christ in us that's changed everything? Yes. A new creature. All the faith, all the love, everything you'll ever need already deposited in you. Now it's a journey of letting our mind be renewed to who we are on the inside. Most of our journey in the Word of God together as a church and as people, it's kind of like Mexican food. I mean, how many different ways can you do tortillas, beans, cheese, lettuce, and hot sauce? I mean, they can stack it, they can layer it, they can roll it, they can wrap it, they can fry it, they can boil it, many different ways. I mean, that's pretty much what we're doing. It's this same precious Word. The love of God transforms us. How do we allow that to happen daily, weekly, monthly, in a greater, greater way? Because here's the promise. Jesus says, you get a hold of this, greater work shall you do in My name. That's pretty awesome. Last week, we were talking about agreement and the importance of it. Say with me one more time. Faith works by love. So we're in our journey and looking at faith and what it is. We're going back to what we were saying earlier. Faith, God responds to faith, but there comes a place as we grow, you'll find out that you alone with your faith, God will respond. You'll get some stuff done, but you're going to be running at about 10% of your power. One puts 1,000 to flight, two. This is referenced more than once in Scripture. Two will put 10,000 to flight. I think it's interesting that Jesus sent them out not alone ever, but two by two. Sent them out together. Jesus said in Matthew 18, we looked at it last week, if any two of you should agree, the devil's biggest charge, what he works at the most, is separating brothers and sisters, creating disagreement, creating confusion, which brings that. For where there is confusion, James says, there is every evil work. So he'll do whatever he can to divide and conquer. This is why most of the epistles, I mean, you read the book of Acts, you see that miracles is no big deal. Jesus had already promised them, signs will follow them that believe. They that believe in my name. Well, that was for the apostles. Excuse me. They that believe in my name. And it's not just there, but in many places he charged them. And then the disciples of the disciples did miracles. But anyway, you look through the book of Acts, you see that to them, supernatural works were no big deal. But you look in the epistles, you see very little reference to it because the big message was get in agreement. The big stuff comes when you are in agreement. The big stuff happens when we get hooked up. Peter's in jail, arrested and jailed, in prison. And the Acts tells us that the church prayed together unceasingly. And suddenly an angel broke the bands off that boy, said, stand up. When he arrived at the house, one of the places that they were where they were praying for him, a little girl by the name of Rhoda answers the, she looks through the, whatever it was, the little window, the little whatever, sees it's Peter and is so taken back, she goes running back where they're praying, says, hey, Peter's here. Oh no, we're praying for him. We're believing God. No, but Peter's here. No, we're praying. We're saying, isn't that a picture of how we are? But there was unity. There was agreement. There were many times when there were believers jailed, and we don't have to read more into this than we have to, but I'm telling you, you look at your Bible, and every time somebody got in agreement, something supernatural happened. Isn't that something? So the enemy's drive is to break that up. Faith works by love. And listen, agreement in God is not just you and I having an agreement, like the opposite of a disagreement. Agreement in God looks like this, and this is why we covered it last week. John 15, verse 7, Jesus says, let me explain to you what I'm talking about. All this stuff about the vine and the vine dresser and wanting you to produce fruit. Let me just cut to the chase. Here's what it looks like. If you and I get into it, if you let me work in you and we get an agreement, would you say with me this morning, Jesus and me are a majority? Stop and let that sink in. Jesus and me. Say it one more time. Jesus and me are a majority. For he is more than enough. And he is mine. Jesus said this. He said, if you buy, and think of this, he's challenging his disciples before he had paid the price for sin, before anybody could be born again, before anybody knew what it was like to have the Spirit living within. He's still saying, here's the truth. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you will and it shall be done. Well, I've tried that and it didn't work. Well, keep trying. Keep growing. Keep learning. As I said last week or Wednesday or whenever it was, I'm not saying that I make every shot I take. But when I used to believe that these things weren't for today, that this was only for the apostles, that miracles ceased, that baptism in the Holy Ghost no longer affected, that all this other stuff didn't count anymore, I didn't take any shots. And let me tell you something, you miss every shot you don't take. But since I got a hold of some good news, I've seen miracles. I've had some months where I got a 3 out of 10. I've had a few where I had a 7 out of 10. That beats 0 out of 0. Yeah, that's right. Keep moving forward. Trust God. Believe him. His word is true. How many know we're growing? I don't know everything yet. We'll never know everything. But we can get in agreement. with the miracle worker, Jesus is the one who said it. You abide in me and my word abides in you. Ask what you will. How many know it's important to do what we're doing today? Just being bathed in the word of God. Sitting together with brothers and sisters. Taking the time. We ought to be the friendliest church in town. I pray that we will lose our favorite seats, move around a little bit, open up our eyes. I'm as guilty as anyone. I walk into a new setting with a bunch of people and I'm blind. I don't see anybody. There can be somebody I know right there 20 feet ahead and I'm just, believe it or not, I'm still that way. It takes me a while to warm up and settle down and calm down. I start looking around and actually seeing. How many know what I'm talking about? You like that? Okay. When we come in here, as the Lord blesses us and the wheels begin to turn, let's be the friendliest people we can. Faith works by love. We're going to look at some scriptures in here that are so powerful. If you're just working your faith alone, you're operating at about 10%. You get an agreement. Scripture says tenfold. Isn't that something? Another example, and I don't think it's stretching at all, another beautiful example, one of my favorites, is Paul and Silas. It's another example. Two guys imprisoned, beaten and imprisoned, thrown in jail. And it says that Paul and Silas, upon being thrown in jail, that Silas was upset. He was mad. Look, we did everything we could to preach the gospel, to do the right thing and out there. And Paul, I just don't get this at all. I'm frustrated. God, where are you? Where have you been? And Paul's telling him, look, man, you gotta tough up, buddy. No, that's not the picture that we see at all. Look at what it says. And it came to pass, as he went to prayer, a certain damsel, this is verse 16, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters. And it goes on to talk about somebody who's been used of demons to read people. And how that in time, it's a comical story almost. I'm not going to take the time to read it, but she is set free by the power of God. After a great time, it's like Paul woke up and said, man, what am I doing? Come out of her. And she was delivered. As a result of her deliverance, the people that she worked for, if you would, they lost a source of their income and they got mad. They stirred up some trouble, and the next thing you know, they're in jail. The multitude, verse 22, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. I'd say they were pretty upset. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas whined and complained and said, how could this be? Did God not say? No, it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas, would you say that with me? Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And it was not, as you've heard me say many times before, that was not an eyebrow prayer. How many know what an eyebrow prayer is? You ever seen somebody who's a little new in the Lord? First time they are asked to pray over the meal in a restaurant in public? Boy, that's a strain for them. They're looking around. But oh, that's okay. You take care of it. Maybe if they're alone, they might do an eyebrow prayer. They feel like they should pray over their food. So what they'll do is they'll just... a little bit. This was not an eyebrow prayer. This was bold. In prison. It says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. It was loud. They were praying and praising God. Two men in total agreement, rejoicing in their bonds. Do you think they might have known something? Now, my feet weren't in stocks, and I wasn't in prison, and we're such big babies sometimes. But I was at an in-between place between where I left and Arizona back just a few, about 14 years ago. Found myself in a place that I did not want to be, stuck there for different reasons. in a house I did not want to be in a situation that I did not like. I so dislike that city to this day, I don't even want to fly over it. Okay? Town, whatever. The thing is it was a bad place. And one day, coming home, long story, stepped into that little place, and I heard the Lord, as He has so many times, say to me, "Be thankful." It wasn't a command. It wasn't harsh. It was a gentle, "Don't you know I love you and I've got a plan? Be thankful. This is not the end of the story." Remember, I'd come in and pull my boots off and sat down on the little couch in that little house. And I won't go into detail, but it was, for us, it was an incredibly rough time. And when I got thankful, I got confident again. When I relaxed, this morning we heard it. We hear the Apostle Paul say it. "Be anxious for nothing." Peter, "Cast all your cares." All of this are reminders of the love of God for us. Isn't that amazing? When I got thankful, as a result of thankful, there was a receiving of His love, a relaxing in who I am. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." It's hard to have faith and speak to a mountain when your heart is troubled. And one of the biggest things that will trouble your heart is when He can interrupt and divide and create disagreement. Separate. "If any two shall agree." When I got back in agreement with God, I got back in agreement with some other things and with the Word of God, and all of a sudden the wheels begin to turn. And just like God does, it just flowed together. Even when we got here, and some of you have heard that story, a lot of the things that happened were supernatural. I had a lady right down here on Butterfield Road, had a dream before we walked out. I don't want to take the time for that right now. Supernatural. Woman I'd never met, saw David Simmons and I, who helped me start this church, saw David Simmons and I in a dream. We were desperate for a house. God had a house for us with corrals and a horse and a little hay barn and the whole deal, and we didn't know it. And the devil was beating me over the head saying, "Who do you think you are dragging these horses over here? God said He'd provide your need, not for horses, blah, blah, blah," he's hearing all this stuff. And God said, "Wait a minute." The minute I got thankful, He stepped in and said, "I'll take care of you and more." How many know He loves us? Paul and Silas, now, how many know when you stand up for the truth of God's Word, you're going to get some persecution? You are. But here they are, and they're in agreement, and they're singing praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. Would you say with me this morning, "And suddenly"? How many need a suddenly in your life right now? Come on, how many need a suddenly? Two men got in agreement. I mean, it was a part of their flow. This was the stuff they live. This is why Paul preached it all the way through. The epistles, every time he had the opportunity, his main theme was put off the old man, put on the new, and here's what it looks like. Consider others better than yourself. Consider others higher than yourself. Yield to one another in love. Get in agreement. Love each other fervently and watch what I will do. One puts 1,000 to flight. You want to operate on 10%? Two puts 10,000. Imagine what a group of people, a big angel, walks into where Peter's up and bam, the chains hit the floor and he says, "Stand up!" Right? I can almost hear, "Don't you know who you are? They're praying out there. Stand up! Let's go." Good stuff. Here they are. "And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone," not just their bands. Think of what happens when you and your sweetie get in agreement. Think of what happens when brothers and sisters, because of past hurts and past church relationships and past marriages, quit being petty and touchy and childlike and defending the reason for all the filters they've built up around them in the name of protection, and just open up and let God be God and let love do what love does. Become vulnerable. Become willing. Hey, I'm willing to be abused if that's what it takes. That's what Paul preached. He told slaves, sir, another time, another place, thank God for America and other nations like England that because of the gospel and because of the word, led the world in ending slavery. But in this time, he told slaves, you serve with a good attitude. You serve your masters. Work for them as unto God. What? You get an agreement. It won't just be you and your need getting broke loose. Watch as God. This morning I kept hearing during the worship. I don't know who this is for. Maybe it's for me. Maybe it's for all of us. Maybe it's a church. But I just kept hearing let go and let God. And then the next thing I heard was don't pick the fruit. Check this out, Sally. Don't pick the fruit prematurely. Let it ripen. Don't push. Don't get in a hurry. Don't force your Pentecostalism on anybody. Just love God. Love people. Let my word bathe and wash, and let the suddenlies come. Quit trying to make revival happen. I'm so tired of hearing about someday the glory's going to come, and if we just hold our tongue right and cross our fingers and twist our toes, the glory's going to suddenly, and it's just, and I say, and it's coming in. I just, after a while, it sounds like acorn, leghorn, and I say. Oh, revival's in you. The hope of glory is in you. Man, all he's waiting for. Listen, his goal in Ephesians 4 was all this weaponry, all this equipment, all this preparation, fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, is for the purpose of just getting us together. For one puts 1,000. Anybody can be a critic. But for somebody to humble themselves and stand in faith and hook up. That's something. Look at what happens. They weren't the only ones. But every prisoner in that jail was freed with them. And Paul and Silas took the opportunity to be free. And man, they hit it. Man, they were running. They're on their own. They hung around and talked about the love of God. Unafraid. And unashamed. And the keeper of the prison, 27, awaking out of a sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself. He's in trouble. Roman guard, I failed. My life. Supposing the prisoners had fled, but Paul cried with a loud voice saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Whew, that's powerful. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Whew. Man, that's good stuff. How many are glad this morning for the love of God? I don't know how to twist this back to where I want to go, but we'll just do it like this. Because we're going to fill in the gaps as we move forward. Jesus changed everything from the old system. It used to be under the old law, love the Lord your God with everything you are. And love your neighbor as yourself. Now this Jesus, the Messiah that all that pointed towards, now in the fulfillment of who he was, said, here's how it looks now. Love one another as I have loved you. This is no longer you loving others like you love yourself. Oh, I used to hammer that. New covenant is love one another as I have loved you. Now, loving others, if you don't understand the love or know the love of God, trying to do that is like trying to come back from somewhere you haven't been. Now, we're not talking about what you have in Jesus, because the love of God, according to Romans 5:5, you might want to write that down so you can look it up. Don't believe anything I say because I said it. I've said that for years and I'll keep saying it. You better check Bubba out. Doesn't mean you have to agree with everything I say, but you better believe what is revealed to you through the Word and by the Holy Spirit. Don't believe any man just because, well, for any reason. Check them out. We're vessels. We're not God. I'm not your Jesus. Are you with me? I'm believing God with you, the Holy Ghost, through the preaching of the Word. The foolishness of preaching, Paul called what I'm doing right now, will lay before you some things that you can take and begin to mull over and examine in the light of your personal walk with God by the Holy Spirit. Begin to compare Scripture until it becomes revelation to you. Blind followers are the making of cults. This, what we're doing here, is the making of the process called unity. And they were all in one accord. And suddenly, there's that word again. And suddenly, there was the sound of a rushing mighty wind. Tongues of fire danced over their head, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues. Would you say with me, bump your neighbor, say suddenly. I'm believing God for suddenlies. Hallelujah. All right. So we have this thing called faith works by love. But if we don't understand the love of God, so now it takes us a little further. If we examine the love of God, then we understand the kind of love wherewith He loved us. The greatest revelation you'll ever have continually will be the love of God for you personally. The more you see that, the more your confidence rises. And the more productive your faith will be. It's the opposite of what religion tells you. And we're going to get into this. Most of the church is encouraging. I was guilty of it big time. And I have to watch myself even yet. That your performance before God was what made the difference. Your performance before God should be a result of an understanding, a greater understanding, a progressive understanding of His great love for us. But before we get into any of that, we've covered a number of these scriptures. I want us to look at then what the love of God is. And I want us to examine in Scripture. I've been promising this for weeks. It's a quarter after. I got enough time to at least start it. So we're going to look at four words in the Greek that say what our one word, love, says, but very different meanings. Did I say that right? Did that make sense? In English, we have, and I've said it before over the last few weeks, in English, we have one word for love. So we love ice cream, we love our dog, and we love our wife. Hopefully there is a difference. But in the Greek, it makes it very, very clear there are big differences. Jesus used those differences, and in this, maybe it'll clear up some things, and we can begin to see the love of God. A revelation of the love of God. Because you get a revelation of God's love. I was in the beginning of a whole new place in my life, sitting in that little house in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Angry and upset, frustrated, complaining, and murmuring, my God, how did I wind up here and why am I stuck here? I never saw this. I know God spoke. I know He's got a plan, but what in the world am I doing here? Stupid little house, 100 degrees. You step in the kitchen and the stick down towel slides towards the middle of the floor in the kitchen. I mean, I was mad. How in the world did I wind up here? And I heard the Holy Spirit say so clearly, be thankful. Remember that, Jackie? And I suddenly realized, if He's saying that, He knows where I'm at. He's got a plan. What am I thinking? I got thankful. I got back into the receive mode. I got back into Romans 5:17 that says, for those who receive the abundance of grace, undeserved love and favor, just receive. And the gift of my righteousness in Him, these will reign. Minute I got back inside of that, I started recognizing how far I had drifted and started calling some shots, doing some reigning. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. I'm sorry for my attitude. I see it again. You've told me this before, but I've been in a 6-month funk, and it's time for it to be over and get thankful. And how the Lord began to move. Huge stuff there. We won't touch it today because I want to hit this on love. But in that was, I love you. And with that I love you came, I believe it. And I trust you. Boy, that right there, that may seem like so simple, but that's massive in the spirit. Something kicks in. Then you and your wife, or you and your brother, or you and whoever get in agreement and begin to trust God. Paul and Silas at midnight, there was no complaining. There was no murmuring. There was utter and complete 100%. Woo! We've been here before and we know what He can do. We're praising God. They'd seen the suddenlies. Paul lived in the suddenlies. He knew God's deliverance. So, without any further ado, you ready for a little journey?
Yes.
All right, let's do that. The love of God. How many are glad today for the love of God? Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, and we'll get into this as much as we can today. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, makes, I've said it many times, and the Ephesians, I think, is one of my favorite books. I remember thinking about it when I was in Cuba. If they threw me in jail, which I came real close to twice, if they threw me in jail and they told me you can only have 2 books, and I was copying somebody else that I'd heard in Bible school, so this thought had crossed my mind, and they said you can only have 2 books, what would they be? For me, it'd be the Gospel of John and the book of Ephesians. Oh, man. So over here in the book of Ephesians, Paul is praying for the Ephesians themselves. He affirms them in their love for God and their passion for one another. And he speaks some wonderful things, and he speaks of what Christ has done as a result of His death, burial, and resurrection. And he gets over here to verse 14, and he makes this statement. This is where the passage that the Lord gave me, our simple church name, Chino Valley Family Church. This is the scripture that came to me, and I thought, that's just silly. Family church? I mean, how much more basic can you get? And it wouldn't go away. Chino Valley Family Church. Here's where that came from, but I want you to see a little bit more. He says, for this cause, he's writing to the Ephesians, and he's telling them what he does in reference to them. He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family. Aren't you glad you're a part of the family of God? Three of you. Aren't you glad you're part of the family of God? If you're not, you can be. You're in the right place. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Everybody say faith. Faith, by faith. Now look at the next thing. That ye being rooted and grounded in love. I want to make this statement. Faith operates best in the soil of love. God honors faith. I don't understand it. I was talking to Louis Bowes about this on the phone the other day. Louis said, the biggest revelation in my life that has set me free. How old is Louis? 71? Born again, spirit-filled a number of years ago, but more recent. He's talked about this explosion in his life. He said, I begin to understand in a greater way the love that God had for me. And in that process, listen, this is the key. And in that process, I begin to understand the love that God has for others. And he said, I got my mind blown a couple of times. He said, because I had a particular case in particular instance at work where there was a gal that was an absolute heathen. Absolute heathen. She walked in one day and she said, oh, I can't hardly walk. I don't know what's the matter with me. My back is just killing me. He says, I want to pray for you. Before she had a chance to respond, he said, let me lay my hands on you and pray for you. He held her hands and prayed for her back. Her eyes got bigger than saucers. She stood up straight and her back has been good since. He said, now I can't get her to accept Jesus. Oh, if we had miracles. Listen, signs and wonders follow. But he said, God was talking to me. I don't care who they are, what they are. If they'll believe what you're saying, I love them. I'm going to pop them good. He said, I've prayed for several people. They have yet. He said, I'm believing God for her salvation. The seed has been sown. But God healed a woman who doesn't even believe in him still. A good friend of mine, Keith Ashley. Hair clear down to his back. He wasn't worth any more than a six-pack and a bag of weed. And he'll tell you that himself. Radically born again in Anaheim Stadium in a crusade. Walked out of that meeting. Personal friend of mine. Walked out of that meeting. Walked in the bathroom. And there was a little guy in there with a withered, drawn-up hand trying to pull the paper towels down. He just washed his hand. And Keith Ashley walked there and he says, man, don't you know who Jesus is? He's real. He said, he'll heal you that. He said, the guy's eyes got this big. He ran up and he said, in the name of Jesus, be free, be whole. And he said, that dude's hand stretched out. And he said, I left him in the bathroom. He said, I was so young in the Lord, I didn't even preach to him. He said, the guy standing there going, He said, I left. He said, I sensed and I prayed, Lord, please let somebody share Jesus. He found out about the love of God for him. And it released him to give. Faith isn't a formula to get mine. He does supply your needs. He promised that he would. But I don't want to live in the needs realm. Needs is not abundance. Paul says, God will supply all your needs. That's a given. You've given. He promised if you give, he'll give again. This is what Paul, you read the book of Ephesians. He was congratulating them on their generosity. Saying, man, you've been faithful when the need was there. Let me tell you something. Because you've trusted me in this, my God shall supply all your needs. But for the believer, how many remember 6 months ago, Proverbs 10:21? The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Oh, that's that prosperity message. You know what rich means? Full supply. Yeah, but that prosperity stuff. But well, who's your source? Who prospers you? If it's not God, who prospers you? You? We need to get our heads back in gear. And think about why the enemy stirs up disagreement in the church. And we feed on one another. Faith came along and a few guys went off and everybody dove on it. Now it's called the Word of Faith, the WOD movement. They're all of the devil. They're into the metaphysical. They're all this. Benny Hinn does incredible miracles. I've seen this stuff. It's real. He got off, went a little loopy, teaching stuff he shouldn't. He's a man. But you know what? There was a day and an age when miracles were great. But did anybody, you know what most of the church did? He's a liar and a fool. He always was. Did you read that such and such? Man, we got to be careful. If you don't know, just shut up. That's why you got to be hooked up in a local church. Find people of like faith. Find people, get in agreement. Submit to one another. Husband and wife submit to one another. People of God submit to one another. Let's get in there. Listen, 1, 1,000. 2, 10. This is the word of God. Are you with me today? Paul here says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Faith does best in the soil of love. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ. Notice that love is four-dimensional. We haven't even touched what the love of God is. The more you see his love and the more you realize his love for you, that's why John says, don't you understand? He loved us before we loved him, and his perfect love for us, John says in 1 John, cast out all fear. That you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. It goes beyond the brain. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Listen, right now, there's the church buzz going on in here, and I'm as guilty of it as anybody else when I'm sitting there. I'm not pointing a finger at all, but it's what I call the church buzz. About 2/3 of the way through the message, it's you're just so much information, and you hear the I just said to you, the Word of God makes a promise. You and I can know what it's like to be filled with all the fullness of God through a revelation, Herb, of the love of God. That's what it says. His love for us. Bump your neighbor a little harder and say, faith works by love. We got to get on this train. That's where Ephesians 3:20, that's jerked out of context all the time, comes in. Now unto him, the next verse, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Can you say wow? Can you say it backwards? All right. Let's start. I'm going to quit in 10 minutes. That's 20 till. Come hell or high water. Yeah, we're going to do it abruptly. We're going to have a worship team come up. Altars will be open. You have a wonderful week in Jesus. Let the love of God be on your mind. I can't hardly wait till next week, and I hope you can either. Drag somebody in here with you. Let's find out about the love of God. You get set free, others all around you get set free. Can you say Shundai? You got it, man. You got it. No, I'm kidding. That's okay, here we go. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, beginning, love. First thing up. This love, in the Greek, is found to be the word agape. And in Spanish, we say agape. Agape. Okay? When the New Testament was being written, there were four primary Greek words to describe the concept of love. Number one was eros. Number two was sturgio, or sturgo. Number three was phileo. Number four was agape. These four words conveyed four very different types of love. So we're going to examine this and look at what the Holy Spirit wants to produce in our lives. Very different things. The first word for love in this list given is the Greek word eros, which is the Greek term for sexual love, and where we get the word erotic, eros. In Greek culture, this word referred to sensual, carnal impulses to satisfy or gratify the sexual desires of the flesh. It shares a common root with the word E-R-A-O, which means to ask, to beg, or demand. Ring a bell? Let's move forward. This confirms that eros is not a giving type of love. Rather, it denotes a sexual demand. It's not a love that seeks to give or to please someone else, but a carnal love that seeks fulfillment of its own desires. Now you're paying attention, aren't you? Okay. I'm kidding. I know you're paying attention. My wife gets mad all the time. Honey, don't do that. They're just chewing. They're listening to you. Why do you do that? You make people feel bad. She's right. I'm working on it. I don't mean it that way. Okay, so here we go. It's very interesting. This word never appears once in the New Testament. Not one time anywhere in the New Testament. Not even in the context of sex and marriage. Even in Greek culture, the word eros represented a carnal, raw, base, low-level craving, yearning, ache, or appetite for sexual fulfillment. This type of love is so flesh-based and so far removed from the level of love that God expects of believers that it is never included in New Testament language. Not one time. In the New Testament, regardless of whether the context is friendship, brotherhood, or romance, all believers are urged to continually operate from the perspective of agape love, which is love more focused on giving than it is on receiving. Because the word eros primarily describes a self-satisfying, self-gratifying, self-seeking, self-pleasing type of sexual appetite found mainly among unbelievers or those who are focused on themselves, it is not the type of love that believers should aspire to in their marital lives. You with me? I mean, there should be passion. The marriage bed, Paul said, is honorable and undefiled. Are you with me? And we'll get into that more later. We're not saying, in fact, Gnosticism crept into the church a long time ago, and I dealt with that. We're going to come back to it on Wednesday night, and actually says that we should consider our bodies evil, and anything that is sexual is evil. And so many believers have bought into that. Within the confines of marriage, I said within the confines of marriage, God is the one who thought of sex. God is the one who instituted that fulfillment. Are you with me? And he called it good. Okay with that? But outside. So this thing of eros is away from that. It's outside of that. The second word for love mentioned in the list above is Greek, is the Greek word stergo. The word stergo primarily pictures the love that exists between parents and children or the love that exists between members of a family. One scholar has noted that on occasion the word stergo portrayed the love of a nation for its ruler or even the love of a dog for its master. Consequently, the real idea of the word stergo is that of devotion. Can everybody say devotion? So it's not a bad word. The rest of these three are awesome in the context of the Word of God. But there is one that stands greater, that sets the pace. It's called agape, the love of God. That's what was put inside of you, Romans 5:5. Shed abroad in you was the agape. The others are expressions of that to one another. So we're going to get to that. So the second one is stergo. So devotion. Everybody say one more time, devotion. Although the word stergo does appear in the New Testament, it is very rarely used. We find it used in a negative sense in 2 Timothy 3:3, where the King James Version translates it without natural affection. This suggests a time that will develop in the last days when strong family ties and devotion to one's family will deteriorate. This is what we're dealing with on Wednesday nights, Christian philosophy. This is, by using this word in a negative sense, the Apostle Paul warns, that one of the principal signs of last times will be the deterioration of the family and traditional family values. They're under attack. King David had rape happen in his own house. And because of his guilt about his own sin, refused to stand up and speak up. And a whole generation suffered. All of us have fallen. All of us have failed. All have come short of the glory of God. But I'm so glad today that there is forgiveness. There is restoration. There is renewal. There are new beginnings. And you should never let yourself beat yourself. Are you with me? Disqualify yourself. Beat up yourself because of your past failures. From here forward, never say, well, I can't demand that of my child because look at who I was. No. Right now, you're not lifting up you anyway. You're lifting up Jesus, the standard that he put forward and said, if you'll trust me and raise them this way, when they're old, they will not depart. Aren't you glad for Jesus? Three of you. Where are the rest of you? How many glad for Jesus today? How many glad for new beginnings? A fresh start in him. I can't do a thing about yesterday, but I'm so glad. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, knowing that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and his mercies, they're new every morning. The third word for love is the Greek word phileo. If you're hungry, you heard filet. Come back. Two more minutes. Phileo. Which describes affection, such as the affection felt between a boyfriend and a girlfriend, or the affability shared between two friends, Jonathan, David. It carries the idea of two or more people feeling compatible, well-matched, well-suited, and complementary to each other. Although this word describes the attributes of friendship, it is not representative of the highest form of love, which is agape. Other words derived from the word phileo are numerous. Here's a few of them. Philadelphia. It's a compound of phileo and adelphos, the Greek word for a brother. When these two words are compounded together, it means brotherly love, which is good, but it's still not like agape. I call agape, we'll get to it next week, bulldozer love. I've had such a revelation of the love of God for me, I'm going to love you no matter what you do. Sometimes that's hard. You kick me in the shins, I want to hit you just like anybody else. I might even do it and have to say I'm sorry later and get back and... No, wait a minute. What did I just say? Let's back up. The cowboy comes out in there, you betcha. Philodono is a compound of phileo and the word E-D-O-N-E, the Greek word for pleasure. When compounded, it means one who is a lover of pleasure. Philoxenos, a compound of phileo and xenos, the word Greek word for strangers or foreigners. When compounded together in this form, it carries out the idea of one who loves to be hospitable. Cool stuff. Philanthropia. Does that ring a bell? A compound of phileo and anthropos, the Greek word for mankind. Compounded together, it means one who loves or who is kind to mankind. Hence our word philanthropist. Philargyros, a compound of phileo, argyros, which is the Greek word for silver. Compounded together, it means it's time to quit. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. You didn't think I could do it, did you? Woo! Getting good in here. Have you been blessed? Hasn't it been great to be in the presence of God? Man, I enjoyed that worship. How many got a fresh kick, a fresh start today in Jesus? How many want to learn a little bit more about the love of God? Hallelujah. Jesus said, if any two of you should agree. Would you say with me today, I have an agreeable spirit. I'm not stuck on just mine. Some of you aren't talking because it's just hard to say that. But I'm not. How many are glad for Jesus today? Oh, man, the love of God. The love of God. I don't know where to go with this except to do what I promised. Dismiss you. We're going to have our prayer team up here. I'd like to call a couple of extra people. Is your wife not in here with you? John and Leanna, would you join us over here on this side, please? Praise you, Father. Oh, please do. Please do. Let me pray for them real quick, and then Sally's got a word. And actually, I want you to give it now. Give it now.
As we've gone through this morning, there's something that just continually comes back to me and comes back to me. And we have a problem with the way we're saying something. And it came out a couple of times this morning, and it's when we say, Jesus died for my sins. He said, no, I didn't. I died for you.
Yeah.
I died for you. I didn't die for your sins.
Did everybody hear that?
I did not die.
Let's cool the music real quick. I don't want you to miss that. That was powerful. Okay, say it again.
He said, I did not die for your sins. I died for you. I shed my blood for the remission and for the propitiation for your sin. But I died for you. I died because I love you so much. And when we say he died for our sins, it points us back to the sin. And he wants us to stop doing that.
Yeah.
He wants us to just look at how much he loves you.
Yeah.
How important that agape love is.
Yes.
He did not die for your sins. He died for you.
Amen. That is so awesome. Powerful stuff. So if you're in here this morning, yes.
I have something.
Fire away.
Well, God gave me something while I was sitting there, and I thought it was just my family. He said, these five words, I can turn it around. That's what he said to me. And I said, is that just for my family? And I sat there, I just felt so strong. He said, this is for the church. So I said, should I say it or should I not? My pastor said, do you have something? Well, I sat on it for a while, but I can't sit.